Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host. And we're looking at the Chinese efforts to stimulate an economy that is suffering deflation, along with a complete exit of large amounts of foreign capital invested in China over these last 10 or 20 years of the Chinese miracle. Foreign capital is leaving or refusing to enter. The Chinese property market has cratered. They have built apartments that they don't ever expect to have occupied. And what is to be done? The consumer is reluctant to the point of putting their gold and money under the mattress. I'm not exaggerating. Rather than buy pots and pans. And at the same time, the Chinese Communist Party keeps coming up with new schemes in order to revive. The latest scheme has to do with debt. So we're very pleased to go to Penang, Malaysia. Our friend and colleague Charles Ortel of Sundays with Charles, his podcast, to ask what this means in the latest gambit out of the Central Committee. Charles, a very good day to you. To boost China's yuan, reads the story, central bank makes it easier for firms to borrow more foreign debt. Whenever I see that word debt, I worry, but I'm not supposed to. What are they up to, Charles? Good day to you.
Good day to you both. I think this is an effort to try to make it more comfortable for foreign investors to plunk additional money inside China, in this case, to lend the Chinese enterprises more capital. But that ignores the underlying structural problems inside China and the structural problems inside China for various enterprises. You have to make a tough call as an investor when you're looking at a business. You have to decide whether you have to divorce the investment decisions from the financing decisions. Investment decisions, these companies don't make structural sense. They need to be changed radically. They need to be attacking global opportunities in different ways. To pile on more debt is akin to, I call it a leveraged decapitation. I mean, it doesn't make sense to put more debt on a troubled enterprise. It just doesn't. But that seems to be what the Chinese government is trying to enable.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Charles, yes, it doesn't make sense, but we've seen foreign investors make nonsensical decisions with regard to China for decades. Do you think that this will be effective in getting them to lend money to China and actually maybe even investing in China itself?
I don't, and for a variety of reasons. The first instance is that the people, the nations that tended to throw money into the emerging markets willy-nilly at times like these were Western European banks and sovereign related investors. Western Europe is in serious financial straits and serious political difficulties right now. On the other hand, thinking about opportunities, I believe that the United States is shaping up, and depending on what happens in Canada and in Mexico, North America is shaping up as a prime investment opportunity into which capital is rushing. Witness the announcement by that UAE firm that they're going to put $20 billion of equity capital into data centers over the next several years under the Trump administration. So I think there are better opportunities, and the supply of capital available to go into troubled zones like China just isn't there.
Charles, the puzzle I get from reading the Financial Times is that China remains a no-go zone for foreign investment. And now they don't characterize it more than foreign. However, that includes people who've been buying emerging market funds. Apparently, the Chinese stock market is a big percentage of emerging market funds. All of that wasn't there 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. Was there a single event that told the foreign investors to flee or no longer put money in? Can we point to an aha moment anywhere in the last decade?
I would say yes, when Mark Mobius, who is a famed investor with a lot of experience around the world in emerging markets, tried to take money out of China, personal money out of China that had been invested there for a long time, and was told that he couldn't without providing a whole bunch of information which he didn't have readily to hand. That, for me, was a confirmation point. I've long suspected, thanks to Gordon's early work, that it didn't make a lot of sense to put capital in a place where you can't get capital out easily, dividends, interest, or return of principal or equity. But when Mark Mobius piped up with that vignette, that was when I kind of went on to red alert and joined the group of people led by Gordon and others who think that China is indeed uninvestable and has been for some time.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, you know, most countries, they can adjust when they see that their policies are not working. I think the difference with China right now is that Xi Jinping, who is still in control, is ideologically determined to take steps that most people think will tank the Chinese economy. And it seems to me that there's been a change in investors' views of the Chinese leader. You're in Malaysia. You know, we can see what Westerners think, but what do people in Southeast Asia and Malaysia think about what's going on in China?
Well, I think people in, I can't really speak for the people of Malaysia, but what I've observed as a visitor here now for several months is that people here are less focused on the problems in China, though they do impact the real estate market here, particularly where a lot of Chinese investors have historically put capital. They're more focused on the opportunities that the Malaysian government and investors see here, which are plentiful. I've had the experience now of traveling twice to the eastern island, to Borneo, in which Malaysia has a big stake. And really every place I go is just brimming with signs of upward movement, infrastructure investment, new businesses opening, new restaurants. So things are very positive here. I don't want to say it's a gold rush mentality, but it's certainly a place where it's filled with optimism.
The FT runs a piece this morning saying the super cycle demand for iron ore making steel is over and will never come again. Profiting from that were countries with lots of iron ore. I'm thinking of Australia, but other parts of the emerging markets were filled with natural resources. Is that being offset by development? Because that would suggest that those emerging markets, the natural resource countries, are going to suffer as China suffers. How do you observe this, Charles?
Well, I think the clearest place to see good evidence is in statistics prepared by UNCTAD, which is a long time series going back to 1970 in U.S. dollars for every major economy in the world, every nation on earth. And it shows from 2008 forward that the amounts of money claimed by China as capital investment bear no sensible relation to internal consumer expenditures and other measures on that economy. Simply put, the numbers, if they're true, suggest that the malinvestment in China is probably in the tens of trillions of dollars going back to 2008. So clearly, some of that excess investment was to purchase iron ore and other basic materials to build out their infrastructure. So to the extent they suffer a tailspin, yes, there'll be declines in demand. Offsetting that, I think you're going to see a boom in the U.S., and you may, in portions of Western Europe in time, see a return to a private sector-based economy offsetting some of the Chinese slumping.
Charles Ortel of On the Money with Charles Ortel in Penang, Malaysia. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,